three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Wednesday, 23rd of March at about 6:30 on the East Coast, 3:30 on the West Coast. My name is Joseph Kaur. I'm joined by my co-host on the West Coast, Andrew Canyon. Andrews, hello.
Hello, we're back. We're back to our comfortable place, divided by the Great Nullarbor Plain.
This is how we get along best. Yeah. We're in the same room, it can get troublesome.
I think we were getting sick of each other, really, weren't we? It was, yeah, a little bit.
I had to commend you on your boots. R.W. Williams?
R.M. R.M. Williams.
R.M., pardon me. R.M. Williams. Very posh boots. You're welcome. Before we get caught up in this, if you really like the show, become a patron. If you're already a patron, keep an eye on the feed. There's a few things going on. Andrew, we have a Discord now. Tell people about it.
Yeah, Discord. Well, if you're one of the cool kids, you'll already know what Discord is all about. It's internet relay chat for the modern age. If you're old, you'll get the reference to IRC. If you're young, you'll get the reference to Discord. Basically, it's a place where people who have a common thing of interest can go and join and talk about. We're there to talk about NBL basketball. There's a, just chime in. It's a little bit like, you could think of it like Twitter, but without all the other guff that Twitter has. It's just a basic bunch of basketball heads talking basketball.
Perfect.
It can be really fun. You can build some good community in there. Don't be a tool. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that has to get banned or blocked.
We don't want to do that.
Nah, can't be bothered with that stuff. So go in there with the right mindset. Have some fun. Have some banter. We'll see how we go. I have set up a channel called Presser Questions. So if there's a particular question you would like us to ask during one of the post-game press conferences, then that's the place to put it.
Yes. And with that on the presser thing, everyone, Thursdays and Monday games, I'll definitely be in there. The weekend games, I'm covering them in a different sense, and I just can't be bothered doing the presses. It's just they don't work for my time zone, and Andrew's often busy. It's the weekend. Come on.
Yeah.
So, but definitely the weekday games, we're in for it. So, yeah, Discord, get involved.
It's not difficult. I just want to say it's not difficult. If anybody has the corporate hellscape of Microsoft Teams, it's a bit like that, but way better. If you've used Slack in the past, or ever. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like that. So you get the idea of it. It's not complicated.
Speaking of Slack and communicating and things like that, rate and review the show if you like it on Apple or Spotify. Weeks ago, I talked about an Andrew Gaze bobblehead. I'm still in the mix of doing that. I've been away from my locale here in Sydney, so I'll get to that. Booktopia, link in the description. Use that if you're going to buy a book. In particular, Boddy Nodge's book, A Type of Life, which I'm about 20 pages away from finishing and having Boddy on to have a chat about that. But let's jump in. What are we going to talk about? I think it's around 16 review and around 17 preview.
Yeah, is that what we're up to? Well, time flies.
Yep. It does indeed. We've got about 8 games left. Most teams have got around about the 8-9 win thing. What are we going to talk about? We're going to do a preview first up. We're going to look forward and then we're going to look backwards. So around 17 preview, then around 16 review. Big news as far as, but before we go into that stuff, let's do the random thoughts and the things that have happened. We've had signs, trades and things. So big show. Let's go with this. I got random thoughts. Let's start with Udeh Barber and John Brown III. Let's go Udeh. Signed by Melbourne United for the rest of the season, just maybe an hour or two ago from the announcement. What do you think, Andrew?
It's great signing. It's been rumored for a little while, hadn't it? He was huge last year, particularly in the grand final series. So I think he's probably improved a little since then. So he knows what he's getting in for. There's no onboarding process required. He'll be ready to go. Excellent signing.
I think that's the huge part of it. They've only got 8 games left. So to bring anyone in would be 7. He doesn't have to learn the system, or at least just a refresher. So he comes in pretty much impactful from the get-go. What it tells me, though, is Melbourne have looked at the landscape like everyone else and thought, we need a guy who can guard Cotton as well as provide a bit of a scoring punch with a guarder kind of taking a wee step back in recent weeks. So they're worried about Cotton. They're worried about Adams, and rightfully so. Although they've got Illy, it's still another bigger body they can throw at those two. So he ticks a box for them. I didn't think it was a huge deficiency for him. They've got Delly. They've got Illy, but they still felt, you know what, let's. But he does bring them a bit more pep
Yeah.
So that's good.
He's got a bit of, he's got a spring to his step, hasn't he? He's athletic. Team nicely with Jack White. And
very.
And I think it's the case of you want to upgrade and who's the best available player. And it's kind of, yeah, he probably duplicates a bit of positions, but I think you go for it because it's, you know what you're getting.
This yeah, it's the practicality of the signing I like.
Yeah.
I want to ask this question, going to John Brown in Perth, is that the worst kept secret in Perth and NBL history? Like, this guy's been spotted twice now. Lucky Reed had him a day or two ago, then now he's been spotted again.
It's hilarious.
Scott Morrison's kind of tongue in cheek about answering questions. Worst kept secret, what do you think?
It's a terribly kept secret. The only person who's not enjoying this is Michael Frazier.
Michael Frazier.
Say. Wow.
Yeah.
Poor dude. I was at the game, the last game, against Frazier. New Zealand. And Curtis, thank you. I don't know if I should do this, but shout out to Nick Tan for hooking me up with some seats. That was very kind of him to do.
Very, very kind.
Because it gave me a great view into Michael Frazier in his polo. For the game, he was below the rim, just rebounding the ball, passing it back into the players, standing there, you know, just looking at it. Didn't see any signs of a hamstring injury. He seemed to be moving pretty freely. Yeah.
Oh boy. Even Damian Martin was joking in the telecast. He's like, yeah, the guy's moving fine. He's a bit of a punching bag, but he still gets his money. It wasn't working out. At least he's not blind. If he's blindsided by any of this,
oh, no.
Shame on him. No. It just hasn't worked.
You would have to hope that the manager of the Wildcats have been doing this very professionally and been like, look, it's nothing against you. It's just, you know, you know as well as we do that we need to change something up.
And also, put him in touch with like a Dario Hunt and say, listen, like, commiserate. Like, there's a number of you. Meet together. Have, form your own Discord. You know, there's enough. It could be a great deal of work.
From the Wildcats' point of view, they've gone from a Frazier the second to a Brown the third. So that's a definite upgrade. Just watch out for Smith. If Smith the fourth is on the board, whew, watch out.
John Robertson, the fourth. He was a fourth. I'll ask you this question, Andrew Kane. Who addresses a greater need? Who's a better signing and fit for their particular team? Barber in United, Brown in Perth.
Yeah. I think you have to say Brown is a better fit. And, you know, better job for meeting the needs of what a team is after. Somebody who they need rebounding and energy defense because their defense against the Breakers, oh my goodness, it was bad. It was bad. Mm. They had no attack on the ball. It was not a Gleeson level defensive effort. So I think they need a guy who can get after it.
Defense, rebounding, they've been an issue. This guy really seems to address it. I only saw briefly highlights. Everyone looks good, but huge steal count in the EuroLeague. Plus, he allows them to play small still. Like in this, Travers and Hodgson just haven't quite, they've been a bit of a slump. They just, and of course, a bit of impracticality with Hodgson when they want to go small. So, this guy, I think, or John Brown, I think he really helps.
I think, really, and that's not to say that Barber, again, like it pains to say, I think Barber's an awesome signing. And it, having seen what he did in the grand final last season, as you know, wearing a red T-shirt at the time, it was that could be a huge, huge impact signing.
Let's jump on Scott Morrison. His handling of this, because I remember asking him a question in the press ages ago. Michael Frazier has a good resume, hasn't popped, and he said, "Oh, you know, we got full faith in Frazier, and da da da. He's a really good player." And then obviously, there's a bit of bluster there. I will say, saying no comment kind of pissed me off. I like Scott Morrison. He's got a good sense of humor, but Jackson McDonald, friend of the program, asked a fair question, like what's going on? And he dropped the no comment. And I hated it just on principle. Like, you've been asked a question, just answer it as best you can of like, oh, you know, we're surveying our options, blah, blah, blah. But don't drop the no comment. I didn't appreciate it. And then secondly, just about a week or two before that, he'd been saying how, oh, let me give the Twitter boys, the Twitter fingers, a little bit of coaching. I'm like, well, you got asked a question. Give us that coaching, but he kept in his back pocket. So Scott Morrison, I say, tut, tut, tut.
Yeah, and I think it was the Twitter boys who were onto the need for a input change faster than anybody else. I mean,
we stand with the Twitter boys.
We do. The fans of the league have understood that this has not been a good signing for the Wildcats for a long time. So
when it's made official, we'll really look at Frazier, these numbers. They could be all-time bad.
Yep, yep.
I want to bring this up quickly. The schedule delays due to COVID at the start of the year are now just starting to have their effect for two reasons. One, just NRL and AFL started. AFL had this huge round of amazing games, a lot in Melbourne. And as a result, the crowd numbers were at 2.7K at the Southeast Melbourne-Sydney game. And then I want to say about 5,000, maybe 6,000 for the Melbourne United. So down a couple of thou.
Yep.
This is where it stings. Keeping the NBL relevant in this time. It was, remember last year they were concurrent and it was a nightmare. I'm hoping something's different. The Hawks-Kings match up Thursday, 14th of April. They're two big rugby towns. That's going to be really interesting to see if fans still bother on a Thursday.
Yeah,
I think that will conflict with NRL schedule. I'm not too sure. But yeah, COVID maybe. And then also Perth. Perth is a huge market, cut down to 50%.
Yeah.
So at that Breakers game, there was only 7.5 where there should be that 13 plus. So a little bit of tough times ahead. I'll be monitoring how well the league goes about kind of existing in the space with AFL and NRL. And I guess I put the question to you, Andrew, like, how does the NBL market itself in and around those two major colossal codes? I don't have the answer. So if you do, I'd be very surprised, but go for it. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, if I had the answer, I'd probably have the job of chief marketing officer for the NBL, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, and I'm thinking, I don't want to turn this into an economics corner, but you've also got the fact that, you know, petrol prices are up at $2.20 a litre, and the entertainment budget is probably being squeezed by groceries being more expensive and filling up the petrol, putting up, you know, petrol in the car. Are you going to spend that money to go see an NBL game? I don't know, it's not happy times for that kind of thing, I would think. So how do you manage it? I think what you got to do is you've got to say, look, we're going to take losses in some of these games. We just got to promote the hell out of the marquee matchups and try and get big crowds for those to show that there's still a relevancy to the league.
Mm.
And if that means giving away tickets, fine, do it. Just fill the stadium as best you can.
I've always said that deals like bring a friend.
Yeah,
your membership, bring a friend at half price, or even maybe even comp. That might, you know, just get some bodies there to maybe get a bit of repeat business on the back end.
Exactly.
I think the other thing as well is, as you said, the marquee things. I think sometimes the NBL can pitch its round too much. It'll be like six games. Oh, it's Cairns and Brisbane. I was like, trim the fat. Take a scythe to the league now and just be like we do. There are two good matchups next round. We're about to talk about them in a second. There are two good matchups. If you missed the others, these things happen. But these two take you to these two, bang, bang, and at least you're just getting that. It doesn't help your smaller teams, but it lets you eke out something.
I think that's necessary. I think you can do some. I mean, it's difficult. There's no real sense of local marketing in Australia, but fine, you can local, you know, in the Cairns Post or whatever their newspaper's called, you know, run some promos there. But national
even
level.
In the marketing. Yeah. Even on the marketing, sorry to interrupt you there, but even on the marketing on the triple header, they'll give equal weight to Brisbane and Cairns like last weekend, Brisbane and Cairns as much as it was, you know, Sydney and someone else. And I'm kind of like, if you've got a minute of advertising time, 45 seconds to the big matchup, sorry, Cairns and Brisbane, you're both out of the finals.
Yep.
This is how it goes. This is not a fair world. No one ever said it was. And if they did say that, they were lying. So,
I think that's good advice. Yeah. Promote the good stuff. Forget the chat. Forget the rest.
Yeah,
maybe that's what we should do as well.
I want to tip of the cap. Liam Santamaria put out an article on NBL.com about free agency. It was really quite an in-depth read, very good read. A lot of people should enjoy it. And I want to bring something up that's a sore spot for people. Dwayne Russell. I think we've seen the last of him in commentary. People hate him. Basketball people hate him. Yeah. I actually like Dwayne Russell.
Yeah, you're on an island all by yourself there, aren't you?
He's got, big time. Jeez. And a very small island too. It's like a tiny sheet of ice that snapped off from the polar caps. What I like about him is good tone of voice, fan recognition. AFL fans will be like, oh, it's Dwayne. What's he doing?
Yep.
And then also, you know, he's a setup man. I never really hear him freely give his opinion. He refers to other people and say, oh, that looked interesting. Andrew Gaze talked more. So I actually like him. And this is where it relates to Liam Samaria's article about free agency. And this is what pisses me off about basketball people sometimes. I don't know what show it was on, but Leonard Copeland was there. Great of the game. Great guy. Decent commentator too.
Yep.
But he banged on for about 3 minutes about how Brisbane are looking at signing Mitch Creek in the offseason and Chris Golding. And I was like, but Chris Golding is under contract all of next season.
Yep.
So that's not even possible. And he spoke about it for about 3 minutes. And then the whole time I'm just like, this is a moot conversation.
Do your research.
Bless your heart. Yeah, do your research. But people, when Dwayne makes a slip up and, you know, mispronounces a word, people are all over him. But Leonard Cooper makes a mistake. It's like, oh, he's part of the Cooper loop or whatever. Can't have it. Bugs me.
Fair point.
Objectivity. Objectivity, NBL people. So
it is a fair point.
But Liam Samaria, good work on that article. I was actually going to do something similar. Look at the teams that have disqualified or not going to make the playoffs and look at their free agent standings. But he did it. He beat us to the punch. So good article.
We know he listens. So, yeah, good job, Liam. Thanks for destroying our content ideas. Well done. You got there first. Fair play.
He did it better anyway.
He probably got paid more as well than we get paid.
That's true. That's true. I cannot confirm nor deny. Let's jump on. Let's jump on from let's look forward. Round 17 preview. I've got two games. Did you look at the schedule?
We're going preview already. Okay. All right.
Yeah, let's look forward before we look back.
Okay. I've got some odds and ends.
We're not alcoholics, so we can see the glasses always half full. That's what I say. What'd you like?
All right. We're looking forward now.
Looking forward. Round 17.
As you said before, there are two games that are worth watching. The other, put them in the bin. So what I'm going to say is you want to tune into Perth versus Sydney and you want to watch Melbourne versus Illawarra.
Perth, Sydney, Saturday, 8 p.m. on the East Coast, and Melbourne versus Hawks, Sunday, 3 p.m. on the East Coast.
You can really forget the rest. I mean, if you've got nothing else to do, watch them by all means, but they're not.
Set your watch to these ones.
Yep.
Say, I'll do it right now. Hey, Siri, set an alarm for Saturday, 8 p.m.
I can't set an alarm for more than one day ahead.
Well, forget it then.
Google.
Appreciate it. Let's talk about Perth, Sydney. The Kings are on an 8-game win streak.
Yep.
Do you think it comes to a close? Yes or no?
Let's see. This is their first game in their round, isn't it? So it's in Perth. Yeah, it does. That's the end of it. Good job, Sydney Kings. You're going to have an L.
I've got it written here. Not only will they not beat the Wildcats in Perth, I'm not even sure that they can.
They've been winning, but they've not been convincing. They've been scraping over the line. Like, and credit to that. You got to win. You win. But Perth in Perth is another challenge.
I'm going to repeat that, but in a more scientific fashion.
Okay.
They ride games too close. They don't punish teams. Their EDIF is middling. Their difference between offense rating, defense rating, it's about 1.6 or something. Perth's is 9.5. Perth are killing teams. On offense, their offensive rating is off the chart. Their defense is not great, but their offense is just unstoppable.
Yeah.
Cotton and Law are combining for, 50, 60 plus on most occasions.
It's ridiculous.
At a percentage that's just absurd.
Yeah.
So I just don't think teams can. Melbourne must be looking pretty scared and thinking, I don't know if we can score that many points. And then Sydney, unless, Jalen Adams is a really good player, and Martin and Cooks and Clark and DJ Vucevic. They got to score a lot of points just to keep up with this team, and I'm not so sure they can in Perth, which will be their first time in Perth this year.
Mm, believe so, yeah.
Not going to happen. I've done that flight; it's not pleasurable. So, and then also remember, Cooks is out. Buford said in the press recently,
he's still going
to
be
Cooks
out,
is unlikely.
Okay,
the word is unlikely to make the trip to Perth. So I take that as a no. Without him covering Law, who's going to guard Law? Martin?
Vodanovic?
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Vodanovic? Tough, but too slow.
Yep.
So they're going to get beaten, I think.
Yep. It'll still be a fun game because anytime you've got Bryce Cotton up against Jalen Adams, that's just entertainment value.
Absolutely.
So it should be, and Vic Law and Martin as well, Jarrell Martin. They're good players all around the court, so good to watch. And also, it's always fun to watch Chase Buford coach.
I agree with that.
He's just entertained. He's just good entertainment on the sidelines. He's either absolutely losing his mind, or he's angry, or he's just fun to watch. His eyebrows work, he gets furrowed brows. It's good stuff.
His face goes a bright crimson. He is as red as heck. I want to also add this. Odds are not up for this event yet, like betting odds. But it might be interesting. Bettors may see value if the bookies get caught up in the Sydney streak. they might think, ooh, eight games, bit of hot hand fallacy, and put the Sydney odds a bit up. I think they'll see through that and go Cotton, Law in Perth, no hope. But keep your eye on the odds there. They haven't quite come up on the NBL app from Sportsbet, but they may do.
And the second one to watch.
Yeah, you do it.
Melbourne versus Illawarra. This is another season-defining game, I'd say, for Illawarra Hawks. If they can get this, they may create some good separation between themselves and Southeast Melbourne, depending on how results turn. But I think this is just an interesting one. And Melbourne will really be looking to lock in that top spot. So they're playing. They've got motivation as well.
My first question straight up is, the Hawks can't win this, can they? Melbourne, their defense at home, probably with Barber. Probably not, actually. Not sure. I will say, at Illawarra, the last time the two played, United won by only 4 points. This was the Dellavedova game where he had 33.
Yeah.
Has not come close to shooting like that. Well, he had a couple of games where he shot quite well, but nothing close to that point tally and high percentage outside shot. So my question, Andrew, the Hawks can't win, can they? Can they?
I think they can. I think they can. I really think they can. Will they? I'm not so certain to say will they, but I think they certainly can. Duop Reith has sort of refound some form. So if he keeps that going, I think what it comes down to is can they share the ball? So is Harvey going to be satisfied to score 15, 10, 15, get a win? Or is he going to say, look, I want to show out against this number one team with NBA scouts around and, a bit of pizzazz. You know, the Melbourne game, it's like an equivalent of being in Perth, like you bring your A game to that one. So will they share it around enough?
I want to ask this question. So you're tipping Melbourne or Hawks?
Ah, geez, who am I tipping? I did the tipping.
Can I? I'll get my tip.
I'll just check this because I submitted. I want to talk about the NBL Pocket Podcast tipping competition, so. I'll just double check. Should I tell everybody?
I'll give my tip. I think the Hawks are going to win. And here's why. First of all, Dellavedova's hurt, right? Hurt that ankle, only played 8 or 9 minutes against whoever they played. Adelaide? Can't remember. Barely played. Last game they played, he went for 33. That hasn't happened since, and I don't think it happens in this game, if he plays. I feel like Brian Gorgian, if anyone can just take us, we talked about the league needing to take a scythe to its schedule. If any coach can take a scythe, a blade, in other words, to Melbourne's psyche and who they are and work out exactly what they got to do, it's Brian Gorgian. I think he was a little bit too give Delhi all the space in the world. I think he'll retone that. I think he knows exactly how to stop Golding.
Yep.
I think that's going to be their huge focus. And he's been down a little bit. JLA was on a heater of form, kind of cooled down a bit. Didn't have a great game against this team last time.
Yep.
Was a little bit.
And Reith's a good matchup.
And Reith's a very good matchup. And then Jack White is probably the only worry for the Hawks. He's just a little bit stronger than Froehling. He's a bit more athletic than anyone in their bigs. Jack White's a really good player. So United are 7-3 at home. But despite all that, I feel like they had that big win over Adelaide. Maybe they kind of get high off the fumes of that. I just think Gorgian in Melbourne.
Yeah.
This will be one that he is just, I think they're going to win it. I really do. Not by much. But I think they can score against Melbourne. Yeah, sorry.
You mount a compelling case. I like your argument, and I am finding myself swayed by it. I'm looking at what previous Andrew was thinking, the tipping comp. I actually tipped Melbourne, but I could easily this is one of those games that I don't feel confident about. So speaking of tipping competition, mate, can I just bring you up to date? Everybody who is playing along at home through the footytips.com.au. Site.
If they
get your NBL tipping at Footy Tips. It's the place to hang out and talk basketball. Never mind that. I give you a scoring update. Okay. So I've just given a real little insight there because I've given away one of my tips. This is important to me because I'm coming second, my friend.
Wow.
So we've got Regis coming first in with 64 points, myself at 63 points. And then tied for third, fourth is Methodical Flame and CN1242. They're on 62 points. Okay. So 64, 63, 62. Joe. Do you want to have a guess?
I haven't entered tips in 4 weeks. Bottom.
Well, not bottom. You're 14th. And you've got 37 points. So you're
lucky fair 14.
Fair way off the pace there. I'm thinking you're not going to win this comp.
I don't think so.
I'm just saying. I'm coming second, man.
Second. Doing well. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. While we're looking at the tip, let's look back. Let's look back at the round that was and the games that were worth any chat. I've got next to, and we're doing these in no particular order, but I've got Melbourne versus Adelaide, Brisbane versus Cairns, and Perth versus New Zealand in the who cares category. Am I right in that? Perth, New Zealand, we knew they were going to win, but it was a funnish game, but no surprises. Brisbane versus Cairns. Did you watch some of this?
No, because I was going to the Perth, New Zealand game, so I didn't get to see Brisbane Cairns, but I checked in on the score and I watched, I was in the pub by myself for a little while. I finished my book. And so I tuned in on KO and watched a bit of it, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Brisbane's, that was one of the more embarrassing losses, and they missed Sobey so bad. That I'm going to take my hat off to Anthony Drimmick. He was one of the few guys flying around the court for Brisbane of the usual crew, really giving it something. And Franks was always, you know, pretty handy and everything, but how do you lose that game, Brisbane?
They should be ashamed of themselves.
At home, I think? Yeah, they were at home.
10 suicides. Horrible. 10 suicides.
Horrible refereeing. You know, six guys fouled out of this game, I think. Patterson, just everyone.
Just the people you pay to go see.
At home. Unbelievable.
Terrible.
But they just look like they lacked energy. They need Sobey so bad. Is he coming back before the end of the year? Do you know?
Don't know. But they...
Anyway, who cares?
Who cares?
Have they been more disappointing than Adelaide, who got beaten by 30?
Brisbane, it'd be earlier in the season, I was pumping their tires up. I was saying they were really fun to watch. They were no longer boring Brisbane. I was liking what James Duncan had to say. I was smoking what they were making.
Whereas Adelaide, we kind of pegged as a bad team.
Yeah.
We knew they were going to be bad.
Yep.
Whereas Brisbane, you're right. We quite liked them and they've just totally drifted away.
Massive.
Haven't they just totally wilted without Sobey?
Yep.
So when people criticize Sobey for, he's not a point guard, he's not this, and he's not a traditional PG, but gee, he must do something right.
Yeah, he makes them competitive.
He makes them competitive. He's making a case. They're making the best case for him to be MVP because they've been so bad without him.
Do you know what I think? I think it is with Sobey. I think he's like one of the few guys on that team that actually has an emotion chip. Like he actually cares. Seems like
him and Drimmick.
Yeah. The other guys just seem to go through the motions. They're kind of... They're either completely chilled out or quite level-headed. You know, it's just Sobey brings a bit of that aggro that a team needs.
I'm going to use a word. Without him, without Sobey, and especially if they lost Drimmick, they're totally reactionary. Because Franks will occasionally get pissed off and hit someone. I kind of give him a slap or give him a slight look. But it's all reactionary with them, with what they've currently got on the floor. Mm. But, you know, this is the problem with Brisbane. I just go back, you know, there's moments in time you look back and they go, they lost Hodgson, they mistreated Magne over a small amount of money, and look what happens. Yeah. They cannot defend. Teams score on this team. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but I watched that Building the Kingdom, Sydney Kings documentary, ad roll, whatever you want to call it. And Jalen Adams, when he came down for that big dunk on Patterson to win it, that amazing dunk, he's like, I don't think I've had an open lane like that all season, was his direct quote. And that was due to his speed, sure, but it was also due to hopeless defending from Brisbane, which we've seen all year.
Yep.
Let's go back to a game of consequence.
Okay.
Let's go to Southeast Melbourne and Sydney. It's a big game. Mm-hmm. Southeast Melbourne lost it. This is the one I think you tweeted. What did you have to think about it?
I can't remember what I tweeted. It was probably something derogatory.
You said that the play at the end of the game was worse than Daniel Jones. So I'll ask that question again. Do you feel that Adnam inbounding with – McCurr defending the baseline and him passing the bounce pass, just totally out of bounds, tried to actually put side spin on it, bounced either off Liafa. I don't actually think it ever bounced into the field of play. Do you think that was worse than the Johnson heave for two when they're down three? I still think the Johnson one was worse.
They're both so bad. Oh, God, these are professional teams and that's what they're putting up in the final.
And then what's worse is the decision not to foul with a 2-second differential.
Just dumb.
I'm going to use a word. Dumb is one word. I hate that word, but it is a word use. It's fair. No, it's okay. What I want to use is choke. Was this a choke?
You have to say it was, because if you were thinking clearly, you would have known to foul. Totally. Surely there's certain rules that they are drilled into a team. You know, in certain circumstances, you foul. And surely the coach was yelling out, foul, foul, foul. Why was he not screaming his head off?
I don't know. That's a great question for Simon Mitchell. I think in the presser, he didn't answer the question directly, but I think he just sort of said there was a miscommunication. To me, that's panic.
Mm.
You need clear, concise, Titanic's going down, women and children first. Women and children, I say. Yeah. Pistol at the ready.
And like, why wouldn't you foul anyway? Because you foul, and then you might think afterwards, oh, that was bad, but we can recover from this, right? If it was deemed to be, oh, you shouldn't have fouled, but you did. But if you don't foul, you're just leaving it in the lap of the gods. You know, at least with a foul, you still have some modicum of control.
Total panic from top to bottom. It was really embarrassing for them. And when they're trying to build this streak, they've now lost 3 or 4 games in a row, all of which against other playoff contenders. I think they lost to Illawarra. Obviously, this game against Sydney. Melbourne? No?
Yeah, Adelaide? Yeah. They won.
Tasmania.
And they're looking worse week by week. They're the only team in the contention that is getting worse by every week.
Illawarra look way better. They put up big points against Tasmania, slapping away the coach's hand. I think that was the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the game.
Yep. So they're looking feisty, hungry. They want it, whereas Southeast Melbourne looks so effing meek. I've got a couple of dot points I want to go through. Joe Chi got headhunted bad, especially to start the fourth. There were 8 points, 2 threes and a 2 off his defense where he got in pick and roll. They couldn't switch around. His player had a 3. What have I got? Yeah, so that was – and he started the fourth and then never returned. And Buford in this game, in the timeout, you could hear it was like, go at Chi, target Chi. So hopefully if the Southeast Melbourne listened to the game back in the video room, you'd hear that and go, you can't have this guy on defense. Liafa, Adnam, Tarangi, and Glidden. Mm. We like to do this. Combined for how many points do you think? Actually, I'll give you a pin. Do you think it was over or under 15 points?
Oh, under. Has to be under.
It was over. 21 was points.
Oh, okay.
Only just 21 points, 7 of 23, that's 30%, not high percentage, in 90 combined minutes.
Oof, that's a lot.
So that means 69 of those minutes are on the court. No, and their big scorers, big everything.
Yep.
30% from the field. Oh. In contrast,
yep.
A punch from Sydney, Vodanovic, 8 points, 12 minutes, in big minutes. He really tip of the cap to Vodanovic. I thought he played.
Yeah, he had a good
real
game.
Tough, he had a really good game. Well, I mean, 8 points in 12 minutes. That's basically half the production of those three in a ninth of the minutes.
Yeah.
This is what we've said about this team. There's nothing on the wing, you were saying.
Yeah. I just want to ask you a legit question now, Joe. We've talked around this for so long with this Southeast Melbourne team. Can we honestly just say that Cam Glidden is no longer a good player? Like, he's just bad?
I'll say that his... What the production's been this year has been bad, yeah. I think he would be disappointed. It's not the year he's wanted. And I don't understand why not. Looked tentative. Giving up that shot the other night, he's not in a good confidence space.
I just
he can still shoot
it.
Shooters don't just lose the shooting, Andrew, surely.
But
it's everything in between.
It's infuriating. They've got so many like pseudo-boomers, this Phoenix team.
Mm.
And they're just not. It's just not there. Sorry,
I think they put too much money in the pseudo boomers, and they only have the two imports, right? Mumford and Bradley.
Yeah,
Ashley. So, I would have taken money away from that allocation and put it towards an import, but they didn't do that.
And Mitch Creek. The end of that game, right? Whatever they were running, what was that? That pass that Adnam tried to throw. Like, there are only two options you've got in that situation. You either lob it to Chi. Right? Yep. Which is high level of difficulty, especially for Adnam.
If it was a baseline pass, maybe, but from the sideline, tough call. Yep, but an option. Yep.
But otherwise, if I'm Mitch Creek and I'm the captain of this team or whatever, I'm just like, give me the effing ball.
Yeah, right.
Like, at what point do you stand up and you say, like, no, I'm just going to, like, give me the ball. I'll make a miss. Just get me the ball. And
2 seconds, catch on the perimeter, 2 hard dribbles right, pull up, push shot, right? Yeah. That's kind of what we're thinking. Or catch in the low post, 1 dribble hook. Yeah.
And if I've got to go through three screens to get that ball off the sideline, give it to me. Yeah. I am going to make it happen. Like, that's kind of like they need that guy. He's meant to be that guy. All right.
It's him and Brokoff. And Brokoff was obviously hurt.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have. I've got a question for you. What was the bigger mystery or mistake? Not fouling with 2 seconds left, the shot differential?
Yeah.
Or having Kyle Adnam inbound? Everybody knew in the world when Sydney was stepping out from that timeout that McCurr was coming on. And all Buford was talking about was like, you could see him in the vision. He's like, hands up. Like, you're going to be. And this guy's huge, 7 feet tall or whatever he is, massive arms, big long arms. And then put Kyle, he was never going to make that pass. Yes. You had to have a bigger player. You had to have, say, Tarangi make that pass or.
Yep.
You know, someone with size. Yep. It was obvious. And yet it's Adnam, who's shorter than I am. I couldn't. It was just such an institutional panic. I was embarrassed for everyone involved.
Joke.
5 losses in a row for SEM. Illawarra and Southeast Melbourne are playing their part. Oh, sorry. Illawarra and whoever else are playing their part of winning. SEM are slacking. You know, those other Sydney are winning, doing their part. Illawarra is doing their part. Southeast Melbourne regressing. Yep. We think they miss, right? I think they drop a game that's not supposed to Adelaide or a Cairns.
Yeah.
Cairns can always be a toughie.
Yep. I can't see them making the playoffs at this point. I think Illawarra's going over them.
Illawarra's got a really tough schedule. What have we got here? Adelaide versus Cairns, the only other game. I think we saw McCarron's worth. People have been really ragging on McCarron. No good. Had a really big game against Cairns. They are the bottom team, though. And then they came out against Melbourne and again laid an egg. I honestly think with McCarron, the deal is this. Against good teams, he's over-scouted. They know, like, they've only got one player. Just beat him, bash him, force him sideline, make him turn it, wear him out in the backcourt, babysitting everyone else on the court of his own team. Then when they play against the bad teams, against Cairns, teams that just don't have that capability, he's able to get loose and play well. I have faith in Mitch McCarron as a good player. That game kind of solidified it. But when you're the only guy on a team, I don't want to say quitters, but Adelaide's just kind of fallen apart around him.
Yeah.
I think it's good. What's funny is Withers in... you go.
No, I was going to say, I'm just taking all the credit for McCarron's good game because I told him to step his game up. He stepped his game up.
He did.
Yeah, it's easy as that.
I watched NBL Overtime. I watched NBL Overtime this week. It was a good show.
Yep.
And Corey, Homicide Williams, was just like, you know what? I'm shocked that Withers and Hannah still have jobs. And there was an audible, oh. It was good. It's a funny show.
That's and a fair true. Call, though. Yeah, I agree. Why do they still have their jobs? They must be cheap.
Must be cheap, or just, you know what, season's lost. Just let's just keep the agent on side. Just not, you know, just see it out. It's like when you're with a girl and you're like, the lease is out in 3 months. Just paint a smile on your face.
Wow,
we've gone there. Wow. Where are we going next? We've done the games of note.
I just want to make one point. Well, there's one point of the Illawarra Southeast Melbourne Phoenix game as well. I just want to point out that Southeast Melbourne, they lost this game. But they shot 10 of 19 from free throw line. If that had hit some of those free throws, they could have won that. Practice your free throws, kids.
The other thing I'll say on that game, Tasmania Illawarra, Hawks are kind of just starting to play some D. This is a different game we're talking about. Tasmania lost to Illawarra. This is the one with Scott Roth. got into it with
celebrations.
I just want to say, of the game, it was obvious Tasmania ran out of steam a bit now that the pixie dust has worn off. They were held to 65 points. So Illawarra's starting to play a bit of D. Illawarra doing their part. Pardon me. They're doing their part to get to the four, and I appreciate it. What do you think of that situation with Roth? Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it, and I agree that it was disrespectful. I don't think it's disrespectful, but he was clearly making a callback to Scott Roth's celebration, right? And it was, I think it was a bit of a childish thing to do. But,
From Cleveland.
But I think it was even sillier for Roth to carry on as much as he did. Just go, okay, all right, that's fair enough. That's the way you're going to be. But don't absolutely go bonkers the way he did. That was a bit disappointing.
I'll say this. Brent Costello, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is a Tasmanian reporter. He's put a thing out on Twitter about the little fight and slowed down some video. And I actually think this is a case of misunderstanding. Cleveland was celebrating, and I don't think he was taking the piss out of Roth. I think he just genuinely felt good about it.
Okay.
And then Roth goes to give his hand up. And I think Cleveland was already in the middle of like a Spartan, like two hands up, fists, like that.
Yep.
And he kind of accidentally kind of was about to do that, then changed it to a hand slap, missed Roth, caught him on the wrist, and kind of it looked like he was like slapping his hand away, like, oh, no handshake for you. But right. I think it was actually him trying to do a handshake with force on it, and it slipped through, and Roth didn't like it. I think this is a real case of mistaken identity from both.
Okay.
And an overreaction from Roth. But I actually didn't hate it. He went after him. It was a good Twitter moment, full stop. Do you think it damages his reputation?
Nah.
The look of the league? Nah. I agree.
Nah. Just they'll sort it out. Have a cup of coffee next time you see one another.
Yeah. I think that's pretty fair. Yep. Well, that was the round that was.
It was.
I have an overarching question for you.
Okay.
Who finishes first?
Perth.
Because the question is, who finishes first and who avoids Sydney in the first round? It's critical. Mm-hmm. You want Southeast Melbourne, or likely what we think, Illawarra.
Yep.
You much prefer that matchup.
Yep.
Plus the home court in the finals.
I mean, yep.
And the moves that Perth made with Brown and Barber, they're gearing up for each other. And when you say Perth, here's what I'll say.
Yeah, clearly.
Perth are 14 and 6. Here's the case. 14 and 6 are Perth. Melbourne, 15 and 5. So Perth have played 20 games. Melbourne have played 20 games. Here's Perth's run home. They're all at home the next 8 games. Tasmania. Let's actually go through and write down, do you think we're going to win or not? So Tasmania at home. I've got it here. I'll give it.
That's a win.
Tasmania at home?
Win.
Sydney at home?
Win. We talked about that.
Melbourne?
Loss.
Oh, at home. Okay. Breakers?
Win.
Win. Adelaide?
Win. Win.
Cairns?
Win.
Illawarra?
Win.
Southeast Melbourne?
Win.
Seven of 8.
Yep.
With Melbourne, they've got Illawarra at home.
Oh, this is the one. What did I say? I tipped them to win. Yeah. That's
a win. Then they play them twice. Are you willing to split? They play them twice at home. Are you willing to split them?
Yeah.
Like they win one. Okay.
Yep.
I agree. They're going to win one. At Perth, we've got it down as a win.
That's
for you.
That's a win, yeah.
I just want to highlight that. Southeast Melbourne at home, quote unquote.
Oh, another throwdown. Win.
At Cairns?
Win.
Brisbane at home?
Win.
Cairns at home?
Win.
At Tasmania?
Win.
That means that that's also 7 of 8. And that would have them at first place. Okay, so you look at it, it's real close.
Yeah.
It's that would have Perth finishing 21 and 6. Whereas Melbourne would be 22 Perth would be 21 and 14.
Yep.
Whereas Melbourne would be 22 and 13.
Okay.
The swing games. So Perth need to beat Melbourne in Melbourne. Perth need to beat Melbourne in Perth.
Yep.
When they host them. And you just need Melbourne to drop one more. Maybe in Cairns, Southeast Melbourne. Yep. Maybe Illawarra win both of these. I don't think that's likely. At Tasmania, can you imagine that? Tasmania spoil the day at home.
That's
they've done it before.
Dreams are made of.
That is Scott Roth. Imagine if they won that. Scott Roth would just effing explode. Just his green polo shirt would become like a exercise ball and just blood and guts all over the first 8 rows. Exciting stuff, though.
That's a fun run home, isn't it? It's gonna be.
Oh, it's amazing.
You guys
it's just going to be win, 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 strikeout, stack them up. Yeah. It's going to be really fun to watch.
That's good.
I think it's going to be Perth. I think it's going to be Perth because I think they'll beat Melbourne at home.
Yep.
They're just sitting at home. Like they're just welcoming everyone. I think they win all these. Whereas Melbourne, got Illawarra, got to head to Perth. Then they're back to Melbourne. Then they're up to Cairns. Then they're at home and then they're at Tasmania.
Yeah, but
a little bit more travel. I think Melbourne drop one.
Perth winning all those home games, they're not absolutely rock solid at home. Like people, they do lose games in Perth, you know, it does happen. It's not as rare as people make out.
Melbourne are in the good, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I actually think Perth just run those games home. I think their offense is just going to be so good. Teams are just going to be, I think they're going to sort that first quarter problem out, which they already have, and it's just going to be big offensive first quarters where teams are going to be down 15. They're going to be like, oh, shucks, we have to claw our way out of this.
Yeah.
So I think Perth, I think it's going to be really interesting, but I think Perth maybe just a pinch. I think Melbourne are going to lose in Perth, and I think they're going to just have this Melbourne, they're going to be fighting for their life. And then in Cairns and in Tasmania, you never know what might happen. So that's where I'm at. Anyway.
Fun times.
I think we'll come to the end.
No, we've got one more thing.
What is it?
Hit the music.
Play the sting.
Tweets. 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 Tweets.
Hit it. Take it to the tweets.
Here it is. Okay. I got a tweet.
Give me.
This is a fairly recent tweet. Somebody called somebody from at NBL Pocket Pod. Put out a tweet.
I know said, this joker, this clown, this asshole.
And they said 1975 called. They're happy with you. At Cam Luke at Chomicide.
That was from overtime. That was a funny exchange between the pair.
Apparently he was wearing, they're not flares, they're bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms, apparently. That's right.
But credit Homicide got back at you and said, ask what's your waist side. I should ship a pair to you. Okay. NBL Pocket Podcast, not to be denied, responded with classic answer, L around the waist, XXL in the crotch. Classic banter.
Because the manhood, big, big manhood. That's the gag there, everyone. Yeah, it's crass, it's schoolboy, but you know what? School's in session.
You know what? You're nobody's cuck.
It's back. Cuck. We've done so well. We've got to have cuck of the week. We've got to bring that back. I think that's it. I think we're done. Taking it to the tweets quickly. A bit of self-promotion there. Patreon, Discord. Do people, if you'd like to have a chat, do indeed.
Oh, yeah. Do we actually tell them how to find it? The Discord?
Oh, yeah.
Because you need an invitation.
The link will be in the description. I'll put it in here. And also, on Twitter, it'll be on there. And also in Patreon. Patreon members, you've already got the link on there. So enjoy.
Excellent. Yep. How about it?
And we'll be more active. And if you've got presser questions, hell, if you want the link to the presser.
You trying to get us banished?
Well, prove it. Case of law. You got to prove it. Innocent till proven guilty, NBL. No, but quite seriously, that could be fun. I think that's it. Enjoy the rounds, games, those two that we mentioned. And, check into the fourth quarter of the others. Why not? If they're close, have some fun.
Yeah.
Andrew, anything? Any last requests? Musings? Regrets?
No. This has been Joseph Corr and Andrew Kane. I was trying to do it. They're two Ronnie's.
You should have said. You should have said my name. I should have said yours.
I always miss the small but important details.
All right, we're out of here. Take it easy, everyone.